Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to Jump In. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and you're with us for the engagement hour. The first 15 minutes of today's show, or a little less than that. I'd like to make it a first segment, Matt, but we're going to talk a little bit about the guests that I won't be having upcoming in the future, because in the state of Arizona, the primaries are so critical and people don't realize that. It has such an impact on who we represent us, particularly at the state level. So Jump In Tucson, the engagement hour, our purpose is to try to help get you involved. And as we come into an election season, there's a lot of responsibilities have. We've got to remember we're a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. And with that comes some rights and responsibilities. And one of them, my opinion, is to vote. Make sure you're registered, get out there, be prepared, and know the candidates you're voting for, as well as know the issues you're voting on. There's no doubt, Matt, I know you did a deep dive yesterday on the budget and on some of the closure of the state legislature, and looks to me like there's only 11 proposition or referrals from the legislature to the ballot this fall.
That's a big ballot we got coming.
You think? 11.
Take a lunch to the poll.
11, propositions. Don't forget, we're going to have 3 or 4, citizens initiatives on as well. So we're looking at a three length ballot, but it's so important you vote. And in these days and times with those kind of issues on it, it's important that you get informed and vote all the way to the bottom.
Yes, indeed.
There are things, a lot of the stuff of local concern really hits at the bottom of the ballot. But one of the things I did want to set up today's show with was talking about the role primaries play in our elections, in our election system, particularly in Arizona. I mean, you're about to get your primary ballots. They're going to be mailed out the week after that, early July, and then July 25th is the due date for all the primaries. In the state of Arizona, there are only about 5 what you'd classify as competitive state legislative districts.
Out of 30.
There's only 5, and those are the ones that are below 4%.
Okay.
There's another handful that are at 10, but most of them are up in the 18, 19, 21. There is a district in Arizona that has a plus 41% advantage for the party. But I think it's so important that people, particularly on the state level, have to recognize that when you vote in that primary, you are likely selecting the person that's going to represent you.
The Pima County Attorney's race. It's over with the primary.
That's an absolute great example. It's going to be decided in the primary because there is no Republican running. And I'm a big believer. Yes, we can blame it on the Republicans in Democrat districts or the Democrats in Republican districts when the other party doesn't put a candidate on. That's okay. Then you live with the results. But the thing that scares me, 9 of the 30 state Senate races this year will not have a general election. And what that means is if you're a libertarian, a green, an independent, if you're anything else, or the party that's not in the majority, you're not even get to vote for your representative at all. Now, independents can pull ballots. And so if you are an independent, you want to vote in the primary. I'm going to emphasize right now, go get yourself a ballot. Pull one of the 2-party ballots. You have to do it in advance. You can't just, I won't say that for sure. I'm not 100% positive, but I don't believe you can just show up on election day and say, I want one.
So you can, if an independent can show up at the poll and pull a ballot.
Okay.
But if you want to do it, if you want to vote by mail, there is a time limit. Yeah. You do have to request that by.
And I think we've already missed that.
Your guest is not in your head. So I think I said it right.
Yeah. And this is part of a setup. For my guest today, I'm going to have Kathleen Wynn join me, candidate for CD6. We talked about the importance of having candidates that are out there and run, but it's really important for the voters to understand all the ramifications of the primaries and how they play out. For those state elections that don't have generals, there's going to be a lot of folks that aren't going to get to have an opportunity to pick. But the party has a big role in the primary. And a lot of times in some of the districts that are safe. Now, CD6, the race that's going to, right now, in the primary, you've got Kathleen Wynn and Wansis Kamani, the incumbent running. And then in the general, you're going to have Kirsten Engel, who's also ran before for that same seat running. So things are already getting narrowed down, but your selections of primary are going to make a difference. So I ask you to get informed, get out, learn about the voters you're going to have, because quite often those primaries are going to have huge impacts also on the generals, because it's going to tell the two parties what type of candidate you're going to put up. So that's critical.
Yeah. And so people, turnout is a lot higher in the general election, especially in a presidential year, because obviously the primary happened back in February mm-hmm. or March or wherever it was. So you don't have that energy driving your primary. But you do have a very small subset of voters in primary elections. And for some of the races, as you pointed out, the race is over then.
It's over for a lot of districts, a lot of the ones that are tight, and the few, and even on the congressional side, we've really only got a couple of congressional districts that are within a handful of percentage points.
Wow.
And CD6 is one of them. So that's why what I'm kind of setting up is, if you like to listen to the engagement hour there, you're going to see a lot more of possible candidates for different offices, different positions, as we go through both the primaries and the generals, as part of a way of helping you become more informed about the voters. So I do look forward to that happening in the future. And at some point, I'm going to have some folks on from a group called Make Elections Fair. They've got 523,000 signatures. That's probably going to be way more than they need, even to withstand a challenge. Now, there could be court challenges, but that's the one, Matt, that's going to put out open primaries.
Yeah.
Now, it's being classified on the no side that it's a ranked choice voting initiative. And it's true, there is ranked choice. If the legislature and the governor decide to have more than two candidates go forward after the open primaries, where everybody runs, everybody has the same signature requirements, and all registered voters are allowed to vote in the open primaries mm-hmm. to select the finalist. If they pick more than two, then yes, they have to use some sort of ranked system. Mm-hmm. But that's, again, up to the legislature and the governors to decide. And, you know, there's some people that think that's not who you need deciding it either. But the thing that we will focus when we talk about that is, there's got to be some way to improve participation rates, because right now a real small segment of our society's electing our leaders. And like we just talked about, nine of those districts, if you're in the party in your district that's not the majority, you're never going to get to vote.
So I think Ted Maxwell's message to the voters today is, especially to independents, is pull a ballot for the primary, the party of your choice in the independent, and go out and vote. It may be your only choice in the entire election, and you will have an outcome on the election. I think that's your message.
That's the big for today. That's the huge point. The other one is start to understand what the issues are, because when you get down there, there's going to be several election issues on the ballot. And by the time you get to the end of that third page, you need to not now be reading what they've got written there.
Right.
Because one, you're not getting the whole story. So do your investigation and be an informed voter. That's what Ted Maxwell wants you to say now. All right, Matt. Well, I appreciate you spending some time talking to me on this, the first segment. When we come back, we'll have Kathleen Wynn with us.
All we need is Yenser here. And we have the 9 o'clock trifecta.
Oh, I just spill it all. Everybody's in that place. All right. We go out with a little Bruce Springsteen. Glad to hear it. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. You're listening to the Engagement Hour, and I guess if I go away for a week and just play a recorded show, I get a whole bunch of Springsteen while I come back. This is good to see. I'm liking it, Matt. Appreciate it. That's Matt Neely behind the glass. We had our little conversation early. Kathleen Wynn was in the studio with us listening to us to kind of hear what I was setting up, and I'm really looking forward to having a conversation. And so, Kathleen, thank you for taking the time and joining me today on Jump in Tucson.
I'm really happy to be here, and I like what you've done with the place since I was here.
I was just thinking when you said we had the trifecta if Zach was here, but no, because the problem is, and now in the 9 o'clock hour, there's five of us because we can't imagine doing it every day of the week.
I told someone. And I said it took five of you to take the place of one woman. So I thought that was...
And I'm okay with that. There's no way. I just don't know how you can do it every day. I just don't know. It's just rough.
It was fun.
So a lot of people may know you from the show you held before Jump in Tucson came in. And that was after, as you prepared to get your campaign underway.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're dying to talk about that, but we're not going to right away.
Okay.
Kathleen serves on the Arizona Bowl committee that basically makes that bowl happen, and that's how I got to know her the first time, and that's how the decision to bring you on the show also came up. But instead of me reading a boring long introduction of you and what your life's been through, I'd like you just to kind of share with the listeners your background. What, not necessarily what they're going to hear in the campaign, but the stuff that you think's made you who you are and you want people to hear and understand.
So I'm 65, so we don't have enough time. But I came to Arizona in 1976, 17 years old, freshman at the U of A, graduated in 1980 with a degree in communications. And I interned at KVOA for my sophomore, junior, and senior year when Patty Weiss and Michael Goodridge and Fred Allison and John Ruby, all those people were there, and learned a lot about the community. And then interviewed mostly politicians. No one wanted to, and I loved doing it. So that's when Steve Neely and all those people. So I really learned a lot about Tucson. Married a police officer. I was married to a Tucson police officer. Being married to a cop, and he worked undercover, it was hard. And our marriage didn't survive, but we had two daughters. And I had lived here for 13 years, and I left Tucson at that point. And I'd been in real estate and development, helped with the project of the El Conquistador. So that was my first big real estate project. I wasn't the funder. I was just an employee. But then moved to Maricopa County and had two more children. And my husband and I now...
Were the second two both girls as well?
No.
I was going to say, because if they were, wow.
It gets better though, because I have three girls and a boy. And then 27 years ago, I was a single mom with four kids and met my husband. We have been married 26 years come August, and he retired. I think I've shared this a few times, but as the vice president of Boeing. And he designed the Apache Attack helicopter, worked on 26 different aircraft throughout his career, but he's best known for that. And we raised seven children together, five girls, which they were all teenagers at the same time. And my son, who got a whole life lesson there. And then my stepson's 10 years older, and he served in the Army and the Army National Guard. So we have a wonderful family. All seven kids are married. I have 18. We have 18 grandchildren, 12 girls. Six boys, so we're definitely heavy on the girls. But my professional career, stayed in real estate and development till 2010, and we know the market went bad.
Right.
I worked for Tom Horn, who was the Attorney General from 2010 to 2015. I was the State Director for Community Outreach and Education for the Attorney General's office. It was a wonderful job, constituent services. We did a lot of great work there. And then I got into protecting children and fighting against sex trafficking, working with law enforcement, finding missing children, and then moved back 3 years ago to Tucson when my first husband, Mike, had passed away. And so he was killed in a motorcycle or as a result of a motorcycle accident coming back from the police memorial 5 years ago. And we just felt it was better to be down here with our two oldest kids. So, and I then just do what I do, which is get involved. I served on the Maricopa Community College Governing Board for 4 years, got the liberal playbook firsthand. And so I have a very diverse background, gotten laws passed. But I would say I'm an advocate for the underdog, if you want to just give it a small. You know, I will fight for people.
So how'd you get involved with the Arizona Bowl?
I love sports. So I've been involved with the Super Bowl and the Final Four for 10 years. I just completed 10 years of service. I won't be doing that anymore, but I love sports. And so when I moved here, someone asked me if I wanted to come to a meeting. I did. I love the vision of all the work that the Bowl does to support teachers, to support the community. I love that they were elevating the U of A and now we've got Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Who knew? Drop It Like It's Hot, I think, is the only song I know, but that's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. I can't say there's a lot of the community that may not know all his music, but there's no doubt bringing in Snoop Dogg. So it's now the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice.
Gin and Juice?
By Dre and Snoop. So it starts with Snoop and it finishes with Snoop. But that's gotten a lot of momentum. There's a lot more people behind it. And I think we, being close to the board, some people don't realize how important for this bowl. It's one of, if not the only, I think it's we're the only non-ESPN related or controlled boards. And we donate 100% of our proceeds to local charities.
100%. And what's exciting is this year, I think it's going to be on the CW, which is in, it's on, like, if you've got cable, you will be able to see this game. And the games, the last two games over the last 2 years have been amazing. They've come down to the last seconds, and they're exciting, and they're worthwhile to be there. So if you love sports, this is like the best bowl.
We've had so many folks, I mean, so many games that have finished on the last play, if not in overtime. I think we've had three overtime bowl games.
Yes.
So you did all the volunteer around sports. Then I guess that wasn't enough, you know, competition for you. So you decided in 2022, correct, to run for office.
I did.
What led you to that decision?
Well, when we moved down here, Ann Kirkpatrick had just announced that she was not going to run again. And to me, it was an open seat. So I thought, oh, I'm here, and I wasn't quite retired yet, and I'd worked in the state, and I'd done a lot of work down in Tucson. When I worked at the Attorney General's office, I worked with Raul Grijalva because he had the hardest hit in terms of mortgage fraud. So saved a bunch of homes in the district, and I know Tucson. My husband was an advisor to the U of A Engineering College, so I thought, you know, I could serve this district. Cochise, I knew Sheriff Daniels. Pinnell, Sheriff Lamb. So I'd worked with these people at different capacity. And so I talked to my husband about it, and I threw my hat in the ring. And there were five people in that race. Myself, Brandon Martin, Young Mayberry, Lucretia Fries, and of course, Congressman Juan Ciscomani. And he wasn't a congressman back then, though, to be fair. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Obviously, Congressman Ciscomani won that race and then held on to the district. And CD6, as you know, is a very competitive district, not just from what you see as potentially competitive in the Republican side, but also when it comes to the general.
Yes.
It's really almost as close. It's got a slight Republican advantage, but it's a pretty close third and a third and a third. So after 2022... what led you decide to try to do it again in 24?
I really didn't decide to do it again. I'm here now. But I have to tell you, I'm a reluctant candidate. But a couple things. As our congressman started to vote and had a certain point of view and where he stood in the party, he has been a very proud moderate. And I'm to the right of Congressman Ciscomani in my beliefs and my views. I'm a very strong conservative. I also would say that as the Biden administration has unfolded its agenda, more and more people are waking up to what's happening. So I think that there was an outcry of people wanting our congressmen to vote more conservatively, and they felt like they weren't being heard. And so people started, you could find me, right? I was here on the radio. So I started getting calls. And so I did what any intelligent person was. I shut down my campaign from the last time it was still there. And I said, I'm not going to run. That was in June. But the pressures continued. And my husband and I talked about it in August and September. And October 1st, I announced, which is a little late. And I thought, I'll give this see how it goes. And I believe the momentum is with our campaign. We're working very hard. Our polling is good. We believe we have a chance to be Congressman Ciscomani, and then, you know, we can talk about the general election. I don't know when your break is, so I don't want to...
You're doing fine. We've still got about a minute 45 remaining, if you remember the countdown.
I do.
Turn the countdown clock your way, because it's a little more comfortable.
It's all
different
good.
Being in that seat,
it is.
It
is. I want to make sure. I always told my guests to talk into the mic, so hopefully I'm doing that right. But I would tell you, last time there were five Republicans, and the three conservatives beat the moderate. And if Juan is a true moderate, and he seems to be a proud moderate, he's voted the most with the Democrats than any other of our congressmen in the state. I think that there's a contrast. And I think the voters deserve to have a contrast as we head into the general election. And I'm very distinctly different than Kristen Engel. We both have a name that starts with the letter K. Other than that, there's probably not much of us that is the same.
So I think that's a good summary kind of for your background and why you got in. I do think there's a difference. Like you said, there's some definitely distinct differences both from both you and Juan from Christine Engel. But I think the question we'll dive into when we get back is what your platform is.
Yes.
What your challenges are going to be. And we'll explore some of these things in a way to allow our listeners to hear more about who you are and your candidacy. So you're listening to Jump In Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. And my guest today is Kathleen Wynn, candidate for CD6.
Thanks, Ted.
Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. And Matt is definitely going to some of the deep tracks on Springsteen today. So I appreciate it. I'm going to have to redo my 18 songs for Wake Up Tucson list, because I was going down some deep tracks of Springsteen. But I can take it a lot of different ways, I think, on that one. So I wanted to welcome back Kathleen Wynn, candidate for CD6. I appreciate you joining me today. We covered kind of your background and what got you interested in running, and you started laying out a little bit of the differences between both you and Congressman Ciscomani, but also with you and the Democratic candidate, Kristen Engel, in CD6. We've talked a lot about that, but I don't want to get into the challenge or the road to victory, your road to victory, till later in the show. What okay. I'd like to start with is real straightforward. What are your key issues, and what are you going to bring to the district and the voters in CD6?
Well, I think the number one issue, no matter where you are right now, and this district is the border, is the immigration failures of this administration. So our border's not secure, and we are funding and allowing illegal immigrants to come in still every day, and we are paying for them to be here, so we've incentivized them to be there. And we don't know who's in the country, so there's a safety issue in terms of, are there terrorist cells? The Sinaloa cartel has operational control of our border, so we don't even have control of our border. And yesterday there was a story out about the CCP's funding of the Sinaloa cartel, which is allowing the fentanyl and all the things that we know are now wrong with the border. I think we've all talked about it. Every senator and congressman has come to this district to get their photo op. But ultimately, Congress has the power of the purse, and we haven't utilized that power. And I would shut the government down, and Congressman Ciscomani says we can't shut the government down. So there's a big fundamental difference. I think that also that if we don't identify these criminal enterprises, and we know that there's many, and detect, disrupt, and dismantle, we have to deport also. So people that are here illegally need not to be here. If their date is 10 years out and they're from a country not one country away seeking asylum, they didn't really get here by their own means. And we know people are paying to fly people in. So there's so many different things that I think we could approach. And the lack of accountability of resources, over 100,000 missing illegal immigrant children. There's so many different aspects of this. So I think, but if we're going to put it in one sentence, secure the border and deport the people that are here in our country illegally.
So I've got a follow-up question. This is what I love about doing live radios, because you never know where it's going to go. And immigration has been a problem since...
Yes.
For decades. I mean, I'll go 30, back to Reagan. 34, go back to Reagan, where President Reagan, who and I am a Reagan fan, gave amnesty to everybody who was in the country illegally, with the agreement from Congress that they would address the immigration policies, not just the border, but the immigration policies. And it is so comprehensive. How do you think that you'll be able to go in and make a change when we know right now that the parties both leverage the border politically?
It's one thing to say, it's one thing to say I'm going to do something about it and then actually do it. Anybody can say it. I still remember Paul Babiou's ads walking down the border with John McCain. But I think we're to a critical point now where 10 million people is a lot of people that we don't know. And they people didn't open their universities and send them over. They opened their prisons. And if we don't identify who's here, we are putting this country at great risk. And it was far less people that took down this country in 9/11. So the securing the border is like is kind of like the headline, but the detail, the devil's in the details. The last comprehensive, really, where the Congress took this on meaningfully was 1995,
right?
Barbara Jordan, and there is a plan to do that. And I am working with people from Arizona on that plan. I believe it can be done, but immediately it depends on who becomes president, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Donald Trump becomes president, he will have the political will. I also believe, as we're watching these primaries around the country, that people are electing more conservative people. Now, I could be wrong, but that's the way that this looks to be going, with a few exceptions. And I find myself aligned with the conservatives in the state, Eli Crane, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, Debbie Lesko, who's leaving. But those people, those Congress representatives, I would be voting with them. Congressman Ciscomani votes 60% with the Democrats. I think that that's an issue. And if you're going to have a political... So, yeah, go ahead.
60%. I told you. 60%, that's an awfully large number that I think's probably inaccurate, and I'll tell you why I think it's inaccurate.
Okay.
Is generally when you hear about people talk about how much they vote, there's so many votes that are just all party line. And when you say vote with, it's because it's of 364 to, I mean, it's just big. So the one that I think is more important is to look about what's the total difference between the voters when they make it, because right. Sometimes it's much smaller than I just don't like the 60%.
I understand, and it's not my number, it was someone else's number. So there's organizations out there that analyze the votes. Let's just say, suffice to say, that out of all the congressmen, out of the six Republican congressmen, Congressman Ciscomani, above all others, votes more with the Democrats.
He was just recognized for being the most bipartisan right. Candidate or congressman in the state of Arizona.
Right.
And so
I want to just say for me, the most bipartisan is you're a Republican and you're voting with the Democrats, because right now that's what that means. And it's okay to, I know Greg Stanton, I know Raul Grijalva, I know Ruben Gallego personally. I've worked with them. The problem is I don't agree with their ideas.
Oh, I understand that. And
my ideology is different than theirs.
I think your ideology is very clearly different than in that case. I guess I'd take a question. Let's go to state legislature and this is where I sometimes, when we get into those things, I think it's a challenge, and I appreciate you being on here.
I'm totally fine with this question. It's fair.
She's talked about it, and she said, hey, I want to talk. And yeah. So we've met a couple times even before this, talking about your path to victory.
Right.
So state legislature is a perfect example of what I think sometimes we forget. So they just came through with a budget at the state legislature that ended up, and exactly, that's
an awful budget.
But the challenge was, is it had to be bipartisan to get passed.
Right.
So you had folks, and this mm-hmm. I no longer talk about left to right being a line that you're on one end or the other. It's a circle. Because the far left and the far right often meet at the top, and they just don't even realize it.
Right.
I mean, we had Raul Grijalva and Andy Biggs probably a year ago both voting against a budget bill. And that's what you saw at the state legislature. And what ended up happening is the Republican leadership had to provide more to get Democrats to cross to get the signature. So that's, to me, I guess, I know your conservative roots and where you want to stay. How do you see translating that into success that's going to help Arizonans and help the country?
I think that I'm someone that, when I worked at the AG's office, if you solve the problem, if you identify the problem and you really define the problem, the solution will fall out of it. And we don't do that. We are so divisive. Mm-hmm. I'm not a divisive person. I am a person that believes in the Constitution, the rule of law, justice, not a two-tier system of justice that we have in our country right now. So we have to restore those values. And if you don't stand or start from that place, you tend to go all over. And I feel that, and what I'm seeing, and this isn't Kathleen Wynne's opinion. This is people that have come to me that asked me to run that felt betrayed by the votes, that they called their congressman. They said, please vote this way. We voted for you. We put you in office, and they feel ignored. So if being a bipartisan congressman is the most important thing, then you have to live with those choices and those votes. I believe that I we will have a majority, we'll have a Republican president, that you have to kind of read the landscape. Maybe with Biden as the president, that was a good time for Juan to serve in Congress. I believe Donald Trump's going to be the president. I wouldn't be running if I didn't believe that. And so I think I'm more aligned with his points of view and with the Congress.
So I do want to get to a break here in a second, but I don't want to just have the border as your primary platform topic. What are a couple of the other areas that are real concern to you?
Spending. Spending is obviously out of control. We have a lack of accountability where the money's going. If we continue at the rate that we're spending, within the next 10 years, we will be $50 trillion in debt. It's not sustainable, and we can't do that. The money that we've... No other country taxes their citizens and then sends the money around the world. So there's just, we don't know where our defense budget runs out at the end of this year. We don't have the defense spending allocated for next year. We need to have defense spending. So there's so many areas with funding. Energy independence. And fourth on the list, but not any less important, is how are we educating our children, indoctrination, transgenderism, all the things that don't really have a place in education but have found their way into education, and restoring parents in making the important decisions for their children and the next generation. And I think that our next generation is completely under attack. And how do we protect them? So those would be my key issues.
And thank you for that. I think the spending one's the big challenge, because the problem that I still see with some of those other ones, particularly the border immigration issue, and this is true for everybody in Congress now, whoever's in Congress next, this is not a Kathleen
Wynne issue. Trust me.
It's to truly do an effective border and comprehensive immigration plan and border security is going to cost money.
100%. But let's spend the money there as opposed to in Ukraine. Or, you know, all the other places that we're spending money, we're funding the illegal immigration. Congressman Ciscomani voted for that. He voted to fund the NGOs. He voted, you know, that omnibus bill is pretty problematic, I believe, for him and his campaign and what he voted for. So we can talk about that. But
we could spend a lot of time on that. But
the money thing, it's okay to spend money if it's effective. You have to make sure that we restore our borders.
I think there's a lot of folks in that's going to fully agree with you on that. That it's a critical thing we've got to do. So what I'd like to do now is cut to a break, and yes. Then when we come back, Kathleen, let's talk about why you believe there's a path to victory for you and why you think it will help secure what you just talked about being a majority or not, especially specifically with regards to CD6.
Okay.
All right. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour, and it's all about getting engaged. And Kathleen Wynne, my guest, who's a candidate for CD2, she's
Six.
Not... CD6. Yeah, former CD2.
Exactly.
Former CD2.
Yeah, formerly known as.
No, formerly known as. She's not been afraid to get engaged, both in service to the community, but also with the willingness to step up and run for office. And I do believe we'd be a better place if there was some systems that would promote more candidates in running for office. But it's not an easy place to go, and it's difficult. So let's talk about CD6. And we were just off the air talking about the current numbers of voters. And CD6 is one of the unique districts inside of Arizona. There's really only two, sort of a third competitive congressional district between. And when I say competitive here, I'm not talking primary. I'm talking between the two main parties. CD6 has 35.6% of the voters are Republican, so it's about 184,000. It's about a 25,000 voter advantage over the Democrats, who make up 30.8. The interesting thing about CD6 is the independent / party non-declared segment is 32.6. It's actually 166,000.
Right.
Now, we know party non-declared, those are pretty volatile voters. They could be pro-choice and pro-Second Amendment. They're all over the place. The independents tend to stay more with their parties. And I think we've seen some influx of some of the independents coming back to the Republican Party in CD6. But assuming you could have a path through the primary, which I think has gotten more challenging with President Trump's endorsement of Juan Ciscomani.
Right.
Because I know our first conversation a couple months ago, that was a big thing you want to secure. But yeah. Either way, even then we talked about once the primary's over, you've got to get through the general.
Right.
And it is a district that historically has gone back and forth. Jim Colby, Gabby Giffords, Martha McSally, you know, and Kirkpatrick, and I know you're dying to answer, so I will stop talking and then let you go.
Well, that's the old district. This is a redistrict district.
It's true.
And I just wanted to be fair because this district is 2 years old, not 12 years old. And I think, and I want to address, I think Chris said the other day that I was denying the endorsement. Not at all. The Democrats have taken that endorsement that Juan got and hung it around his neck like an albatross. So
of course.
Because if he goes into a general election with that endorsement, I just saw President Trump a week ago and I talked to him. And I told him I was running. He asked me who I was running against. I said, Juan Ciscomani. He said, is he a Democrat? That's what he said to me. So he didn't know who Juan Ciscomani was. I'm sure someone does in Trump's camp, but that's what he said to me. He said that to me. And I was fair. And I said, no, sir, he's a Republican. He just votes with the Democrats a lot. And he said, so he's a rhino. So that was our conversation. So to be fair, that's what really was said. And whatever anyone else says outside of that, that's...
If the president doesn't know one of the folks that's on appropriations...
He doesn't, but that's what he said.
That's dangerous.
It's what he said to me.
Okay.
It's only fair because that's what was said. But more importantly, the Democrats or a Democrat PAC has spent $4 million against our congressman with the independents. So that preceded me before I ever got in the race. It was one of the conditions why I got in, Ted, because they have been beating Juan up on TV, on radio, on billboards. $4 million. I don't have $4 million and I would never spend it to diminish somebody. But that's what they've done. So if you go into a general election and that's your candidate, he's lost some of his base because they're supporting me. He's lost the independents, I believe, because they've been indoctrinated for over a year with $4 million worth of ads against him. And then you've got a Democrat who only lost by 5,000 votes in a district that quite frankly, Juan should have won by more of. So I think that I am a better candidate in a general election against Kristen Engel because I will draw the contrast between us. If you are bipartisan and a moderate and you're a Democrat voter, why wouldn't you just vote for the Democrat? I think Juan's way that he's approached this leaves him vulnerable and leaves him weak. And so I want to fight for the things that I believe that this district needs. And we mentioned the money and appropriations. Juan serves on the Appropriations Committee and has brought millions of dollars back to Arizona.
There was just an op-ed today written by David Godlewski with Saba,
yeah,
talking about the money that's come in to help on the side of creating some affordable housing, creating opportunities.
All good things. Absolutely. And I used to be on RAPAC here in Southern Arizona, and
absolutely.
I used to advocate for all of that. The problem is that when you are giving goodies and to some businesses that may or may not exist without your goodies, I think that you're picking winners. And quite frankly, if appropriations had done their job, Kevin McCarthy might still have his. So there was times when the appropriations kicked the can over and over, continuing resolution. So yes, he's served on that committee. I think as a freshman, it's daunting. It's overwhelming. That's your first time in Congress. That's a lot of responsibility. I am not confident that all the decisions that the appropriations have made have been in the best interest. I would have really liked to see us shut down the government before we did that omnibus bill. And that's where we really are different.
We'd be different on that one, too. I think shutting down the government's an incredibly dangerous and risky game to play. I don't want to...
Yeah.
Go on that one. I do want to address something you just said, though.
Yes, please.
Because talking about the general.
Yes.
You said that Congressman Ciscomani's lost some of his voters in the general because they've come over to join you. But are you telling me you don't think that your supporters would support Juan Ciscomani in the general versus...
I hope so. I hope they will. I think right now the mood in the district... We'll see what happens. To be fair, I'm not doing this as an exercise. I really believe that we can win this primary. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. And I think my concern is that the Siskamani voters won't come over and support me. I think that's a bigger concern I have than my voters. No, the people that are supporting me are good, honest patriots, and they love this country and they love their God more than anything else. And that's who's supporting me. And that's what they did the last time. And we got him elected last time, and I did the right thing. I hope that they would do the same thing if they lose.
I think you're right. I think there's a challenge that comes in to that, only because you get that independent moderate voter that you just don't know what way it's going to go. So
yeah.
Well, I appreciate the time you spent with me today.
It was my pleasure.
I'm sure it's good to be back in the studio.
Yeah, fond memories.
And thank you for joining us on Jumpin' Tucson today.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Kathleen Wynn, a Republican candidate for Congressional District 6 in the state of
Arizona. Can I just say, they can come check me out at Wynn.
Absolutely, sorry about
Wynn for Arizona.com, W-I-N-N for Arizona.com. Remember, Arizona needs a win. And it's been my pleasure to be here today.
And
thanks.
I'll see you next week on Tuesday when I'll be back on my normal day and you'll have Grant Krueger on Wednesday.
Yay!
Thank you for listening.